And so we're continuing on with the theme of the Holy Spirit. And this morning, I want to talk about the gifts that God has for you. Okay? So how many of you are excited if you think about the fact that God has gifts for you? Okay, for this side of the congregation, you know, I'll be ministering to you this morning. Let me just see if I can adjust this. If there's anything I need to do, just let Peter know and I'll change the sound there. But, you know, as I was thinking about this, I was just thinking how, you know, we all love gifts, right? We all love it if someone goes through the effort of giving us a gift. But have you ever, I'm sure that all of us may be in this position where you've received a gift once and you never used it. You know, I'm sure every single one of us has had that. I mean, you know, I can't remember a specific one like that, but I bought something the other day, a couple months back, and I still haven't used it. I really wanted it, and I just haven't had the time to kind of plug it in and all of that. And it's like, it's funny how sometimes we get gifts or we buy ourselves a gift, and you know, you just don't use it. And it's the same thing with the gifts of the Spirit. You know, God gives us gifts, but they're not for us just to sit on. Okay, a lot of us tend to sit on the gifts that God's put inside of us or what God's given us, and that's not God's will for us. God's will is that we use those gifts. The only good those gifts do for us is when we use them. Okay? So turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. We're going to start off there. We're going to look at a couple scriptures. If they don't come up on the screen, don't panic. You should have a Bible. but Ephesians chapter 4. I can find it. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 11. There we go. It says, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." Okay, so yeah, these aren't the spiritual gifts, but these are known as the spiritual, I would say leadership gifts to the body of Christ. They're spiritual, they're offices, gift offices. Okay. And, you know, not everyone in the body of Christ it falls into one of these categories. You know, every single one of us, out of everybody that's listening this morning, only a few would actually fall into this category of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher. Okay? And the reason, you know, is this is a calling. Most times it's a full-time calling, or it is a full-time calling, where God would equip someone to be able to do the work of apostle, a prophet, evangelist, pastor, or teacher, and the purpose of that would be for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. You know, a lot of us, if I was to have asked you, what do you think is the purpose of a prophet? Most common answer would be prophesy. Right? Are you with me? The chair's too comfortable? We'll change that next week. Don't worry. Okay, yeah. So what happens is you know, we kind of think a pastor's job is to. A pastor's job is to, pastor, and it is, but it's not completely the pastor's job. We kind of look at the teacher's job too. It makes sense, doesn't it? But it's incomplete. Okay, so look with me, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's read it again. It says, "And he gave some," so it's not all. He gave some, okay, apostles, prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, I like how it joins pastors and teachers there. It says some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. And I believe why it groups pastors and teachers together is that because all pastors should be able to teach, but not all teachers are good pastors. Okay? I'm not going to name anyone, but I mean, I know some people who are very, not in Grace Life, but some people out in the body of Christ who are great teachers. But when it comes to pastoral things, they're terrible. Yeah, that's not their gifting. That's not their calling. Okay? So yeah, these are the fivefold ministry is another label that we give it. But the whole purpose of apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher is for the perfecting of the saints. For the perfecting of everybody else. Okay? It doesn't mean that the fivefold aren't saints. We're all saints. Amen? If you're sitting here and you've received Christ and you're a Christian, you're a saint. Okay? It's not just Mother Teresa. The Catholic Church, you know, makes saints and all of that. It's not just, for them, maybe it's just a few people are saints. But, you know, according to the Word, we're all saints. Amen? Okay, we're all saints, all holy ones, all set apart. And the purpose of fivefold ministry, of the leadership gift there, is to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. Okay, we all, you know, a lot of people think, I'm just going to pay my offering into the bucket, and then I'm paying the pastor to evangelize. Or, you know, let me pay the evangelist to evangelize. Let me pay them to do what I'm supposed to do. That's what you're not saying, but that's what you're doing. Okay, we're all called to evangelize. Amen? Every believer, 2 Corinthians 5:20, every believer is an ambassador of Christ. So all of us are called to reach out and represent Jesus. Amen? If we're all called to reach out, if we're all called to represent Jesus, then that means we've all got the work of an evangelist to do. But not all of us are called to the office of an evangelist. We've all got the work of discipleship, going into all the world, preaching the gospel, making disciples of all nations. But we don't all, we're not all called to the office of a pastor, for example. But we're called to care for people. Some of you don't feel like caring for anyone. But we're all called to care for people. Amen? Okay, so I wanted to just start off by showing here that these offices, a prophet, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher, are God's gifts to the church. Now, I don't mean that in an arrogant way, or that the person involved in this one of these offices should feel like they're God's gift to, you know, creation or whatever. That's not what I'm talking about. But what I'm talking about is there's a gifting on their life which isn't for them. It's a gift for the body of Christ. And the gift is to be used to equip the saints for the work of the ministry. If a prophet comes in, they should equip us to prophesy. You know, an evangelist should come in and give us, you know, basically transfer the heart of evangelism, but also teach us how to evangelize. You know, God doesn't call anyone to kind of be a one-man show. We need all five of these. And I mean, over the past couple of years, I've been saying, Lord, you know, we want more of the fivefold gifting coming into the church to be able to equip us so that we're well-rounded. Because, you know, we maybe got good teachers that have come in, and we've got good teachers in the church and pastors. But, you know, what's his name? Peter Swartz is probably the first person with a prophetic gifting that's come in. And he didn't really prophesy in the services so much. But what he was teaching us, you know, will enable us to prophesy. In the leadership gathering, he prophesied, and now some of you wish you were there. It's too late. But, you know, it was really, you know, that's the whole purpose of having people with these offices come in, is so that they can equip us to do the work of the ministry. Okay, but don't feel left out. If you're not a prophet, evangelist, pastor, apostle, teacher, you know, or one of the fivefold, God still has a significant purpose on your life. You know, my call as a pastor is really just to serve the body of Christ, to equip the body of Christ for the work of the ministry. It's not just to stand up front on a Sunday, but to equip you. That's why we're so big on teaching here. Church is an equipping center. It's a training ground so that when you go out in the week, you're able to do what God's called you to do as a saint in representing Him. Okay? And in order to, you know, we focused on this the past couple of weeks, but in order to effectively fulfill this mission that God's called us to, you know what you need? You need supernatural ability. You can't do it in and of your own strength. Some people try and they get it right, kind of, but, you know, imagine how much more fruitful we would be if we were fulfilling the Great Commission in the power that God gives us to do that. And that power is called the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit isn't just a nice idea in the Bible. He's a real person which we can experience. Okay, and this experience that we have with Him with God is a tangible thing which empowers us and stirs us up and gives us supernatural ability to be a supernatural witness. Okay, you can't, you know, a lot of Christians, what they try and get into is in an intellectual game in witnessing. Christianity is not an intellectual exercise. You might be sitting in and you're more of an atheist or something, and you kind of here just searching or something like that, and you're saying, yeah, but you know, I can. If we were to get into a debate, you think you would win. That's why I don't get into debates, because in a debate you might win, you know. Because the thing is, it's not an intellectual exercise. What is it? It's a relationship with a person. And God has not called anyone in the body of Christ to share the message of the gospel without power. And yet often what we do is we share the gospel. Yeah, and I'm not talking about even sharing the wrong message. I'm talking about the right message. But we share the message and it has no power. We're not allowing the power to flow there, or we're not empowered to share that message. And yet God wants His word confirmed with power. Amen? So, you know, God, we receive Christ, we're empowered by the Spirit, and then with that empowering, we get gifts. But here's the thing, the gift isn't for you. The gift is for you to be a blessing to the body of Christ. The gift is for you to use in the church, to be a blessing, to build up the church, the body of Christ, so that it's strong. Amen? Okay, so let's look at some of these gifts. We're not going to look at all of them. But 1 Corinthians chapter 12, you can turn there. We're going to look at some of these gifts that that God has given to the body of Christ. And we're going to look at the purpose of them and a few other things there too. So while you're turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's just start off there with verse 1. It says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." I like that. Ignorance isn't bliss. You're missing out on something if you don't know, if it's good and you don't know about it. Okay? Paul's writing and he says, "I don't want you to be ignorant of spiritual gifts." A large part of the body of Christ is ignorant of spiritual gifts, and that's why a large part of the body of Christ is in the state that it's in. You know, we've got to learn about these things. We've got to know about these things so we can believe for them, so we can step out in faith for them, so we can see, you know, things happening in the church. Yeah, and I don't think, you know, there's the thing of some people have this attitude of, "I want to learn to prophesy." That's not completely wrong. But let me just say, if it's a spiritual gift, you can't learn it. But you can learn to release it. It's something, it's a gift that God gives you, and you've got it. You can develop the gift by using it, but you can't learn how to do something that you're not gifted in. Amen? We're going to read through a couple of the gifts here, but there's other gifts like that are mentioned in other parts of Scripture, like the gift of administration. That's a gift. So it's not just talking about gifts to use at the pulpit. It's talking about gifts to help build the body of Christ, so that the body of Christ, so that together we can fulfill the great commission of reaching the world for Jesus. That's why God's given you a gift. Amen? God's given you a gift so you can be part of His worldwide rescue plan. How exciting is that? You're part of something which is of eternal value. Something to build the local church, so that the local church in strength can reach the world for Jesus. I get excited about that. You look a bit too comfortable. But I get excited about that. You know, because it's like, well, that means that, you know, let me say this. You know, it says there that they have some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists. It says some. And then you'll see in a scripture in a moment that He doesn't give all the gifts to everyone. Yeah, and you might be thinking, "Oh, but I'm complete in Christ." Yes, you're complete in Christ, but apart from His body, you're incomplete. We often think that, hey, you know, I'm a one-man show. I can just go out and heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers on the street and whatever. Yes, you can go and do that with your believer's authority. But maybe you don't have the gift to pastor someone and people need pastoring. Hey, you need the local church. These are gifts to the church, not to the individual. So if you've got a gift, it's to be used, obviously on the streets and things like this, but also in the body of Christ. Because, you know, every single... I thank God for the team that we've already got. But you know that if you're part of this church and you aren't using your gifting, you've made our team incomplete. Our team isn't where it should be if you're not using your gifting yet. Yeah, our team is awesome. I mean, Peter Swart was saying last week that you know he was just amazed that you know I can go away for 3 months on a ministry trip and the church is still going and it's strong. When we were traveling last year, we heard other pastors saying the same thing. You know, how can you go away for 3 weeks? It doesn't make sense. I can't do that. We had big names saying that to us as we were traveling through the USA and the UK. And it's like, you know, the only reason we can do that is because it's not a one-man show. It's a team. Yeah, the body of Christ is like a puzzle. And every single one of us is a piece which fits together. And so if God's called you to be part of this local church and you don't know what your giftings are or you do and you're sitting on them, then you're robbing us. you're stealing from us. You're a thief. So we're going to catch you out. Amen? Anyway, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1, we shouldn't be ignorant of these spiritual gifts. And you know what I like about 1 Corinthians chapter 12, if you read the whole thing in context, you know what it's talking about? Church unity. One of the ways to build church unity is through using the spiritual gifts. One of the ways to build the local church is through using the gifts. Not necessarily, marketing might be your gift, but it's not a spiritual gift. Use your gift, that's awesome. But what builds the church isn't marketing. It maybe creates a name or a branding awareness or something like that, and there's a place for that. If you're marketing, I'm not demolishing your trade. All I'm saying is that the spiritual gifts are what make a healthy local church and build us strong, not our design work. And design, I think, is a gift. But it's important for us to build the gift. You know, what our gifts do is it builds into each other, and we are the church, so it makes a healthy local church. Amen? So, you know, we're talking about the gifts of the Spirit, but we're actually talking about how to have healthy church. Because we want to be a healthy church so we can reach out to people in health. I mean, imagine if you're here, you might be looking for a church, but for the majority of us, we're not looking for a church. This is our church. Now, imagine you are looking for a church. You're out there and you're on the hunt. You're not going to join something that's unhealthy. You know, you walk in and you're just like, wow, this is shocking. I actually had that once. I was looking for a church when I first moved to the Western Cape. And I went everywhere that you can imagine. If you just think about what was available, I don't know if it was 15 years ago or so, but and I went everywhere. And I remember this one church. I walked in and I went with someone. So, and it was someone I just met that day. They said that you know, there was a church that they were going to. So I went with them. And they decided to sit, I think it was the front or the second row. When I was visiting a church, I'd sit in the back. We love the back row. And, you know, I remember straight after the service, I ran. I got into my car and I left because I felt like throwing up. Let's not be that church. You know, there was just so much legalism and pressure and you have to do this. And, you know, why aren't you getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning to pray? This country is going to hell because you're not praying at 4 o'clock in the morning. Yeah, and stuff like that. And so I ran as quickly as I could as soon as he said amen. Anyway, I enjoyed hearing that story again. 1 Corinthians 12, 7. A few verses down, verse 7, it says, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Okay? The manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. There is not one person in this room who should not have a manifestation of the Spirit, a gift of the Spirit. Every single one of you has something of value to add to the kingdom of God. Every single one of you has something of value to add to the kingdom of God. Every single one of you. There isn't one person who is the exception here. Unless you're not born again. Then you need to get born again first. But every single one of you has something of value to add to the body of Christ. I like the word manifestation there. It's humorous for me as well sometimes. But the word manifestation reveals that the gifts of the Spirit are there, but now they're just being revealed. Okay, manifestation is kind of like making apparent something which already exists. So think about it like that. The manifestation of the Spirit isn't the manufacturing of the gift of the Spirit. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. It's not a manufacturing of the Spirit. It's a manifestation of the Spirit. What do I mean by that? Well, you can't manufacture the gift. You can't create a prophecy. You can't create a word of knowledge. You can't create a healing. You can't create whatever other gifts there are. You have to manifest it. You have to let it out. It has to be kind of come to the surface and you need to release it. Okay? And I think that takes all the pressure off. Because a lot of you might be sitting there going, well, okay, I've got gifts, but how do I learn to operate in them? We come to leadership equipping time today. We're going to talk about that. But the point is that the gift that you have you just need to learn to release them. You don't have to learn to make them. It's easier than you think. You know, to operate in the gifts. This is the first book of Corinthians that we're reading out of. It's talking about spiritual gifts. Go do some homework and look at the state of the church of Corinth. Yeah, or just read through Corinthians and you'll see some of the things that Paul has to address. Yeah, incest and sexual immorality were just rampant. It was just out of hand. And in the middle of his letter, he's dealing with spiritual gifts. You might be sitting there and you're thinking to yourself, I can't operate in the spiritual gifts. I'm not spiritual enough. I'm pretty sure the majority of us aren't living like the church of Corinth was. You know, what I like about that is it's showing that character is important. Character is vital. It's important. That will sustain your ministry as a saint. Okay? The ministry which God has called you to will be sustained by character. Okay? But the gifts of the Spirit, you don't need character to operate in them. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't have character. I'm just saying you can operate in the gifts of the Spirit because it's not about you. It's about you just saying, okay, Lord, I'll switch on. There you go. Let it flow. I mean, there's been times when I've come to church and I just, maybe I'm just having you might fall over at this thought, but having a bad day. just not feeling great or whatever. And you know what I do? I turn myself off and I just switch on and pray in tongues and go, okay, Lord, you have to flow through me. And it's like, then I just allow him to do it. You know, and when I'm feeling good, I allow him to do it too. But what I'm trying to say is that it's not about me. You're the vessel. Just allow him to flow through you. Okay? You just need to step out in faith. You just need to learn to get over yourself. It's a good word for probably a couple people. Eh? Yeah, so God never intended the gospel, as I said, to be preached without supernatural flowing to confirm the word. Mark 16, verse 20 shows us this. Mark 16, verse 20 says, and they went forth preaching everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following. Yeah, look at that. It says there, they preached everywhere. Who preached? The disciples preached. Okay, so they preached everywhere, the Lord working. Who worked? The Lord. Obviously, we need to step out in faith and release it, but the Lord is the one who produces the supernatural. We are the ones who release it. We are not the manufacturers. We are the releasers. Okay? So Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. It'll come up in King James, but Hebrews chapter 2, verse 4. I'm going to read it from the easy-to-read version because it makes it a little bit easier. But it says there, God also proved it by using miraculous signs, wonders, and all kinds of miracles. And he proved it by giving people various gifts through the Holy Spirit in just the way he wanted to. So, yeah, he gives gifts the way he wants to. You know, the scripture says that we should desire spiritual gifts. So you can desire them, but if there's a gift that's not for you, you can desire it all you want. Keep asking and stuff, but find out what God's gifted you in and flow in that. Be strong in that. Okay, do what he's called you to. You're a specific puzzle piece in the body of Christ. Some people look at you and they're very puzzled. Stop letting them be puzzled by you using your gifts and starting to look like you're part of the picture. Amen? You'll believe it later, don't worry. So, the gifts that we have are for each other. Okay, they're an important part of church unity. It's what helps us to build the church. Okay, so now all of us have spiritual gifts. And we're going to come back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, so keep your finger there if you've got your Bible open. But how do you release them? How God's put something inside of you. The glory of God is inside of you. What do you do with it? Okay, we need to learn to release it. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 6 to 8. Let's have a look there. Second Timothy 1, 6 to 8 says, that is why I want you to remember the gift of God, the gift God gave you. God gave you that gift when I laid my hands on you. Okay, so it's talking about the Holy Spirit and the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, now I want you to use that gift and let it grow more and more, like a small flame grows into a fire. The Spirit God gave us does not make us afraid. His Spirit is a source of power and love and self-control. So don't be ashamed to tell people about our Lord Jesus, and don't be ashamed of me. And he goes on there. There's a couple of things I want to pull out here, but you know, we've all got the same Holy Spirit. Amen. I don't have a bigger Holy Spirit than you, and you don't have a bigger Holy Spirit than me. We've all got the same Holy Spirit. You've got the same Holy Spirit. Whose Spirit is it? It's God's Spirit. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. It's the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead. There, spiritually, there is no difference between you and Jesus. That's why you can do the same works that Jesus did and even greater works. Because you've got the same ability, supernatural ability, the empowering of the Holy Spirit. Acts 1:8, you receive power when the Holy Spirit, who's the Holy Spirit? God. When the Holy Spirit comes upon you, you'll be my witnesses in all the world. It's the same ability that Jesus had. You have the same ability that Jesus had while he was in his earthly ministry. Think about that for a moment. What are you doing with that? Majority of us are just robbing each other of that. But we've got the same ability. Okay? In this verse it says, you know, God gave you that gift when I laid my hands on you. Now I want you to use that gift and let it grow more and more. Many of you are saying, yeah, I thought I was strong in this gift, but I'm not really strong in it. Yeah, you're right, you're not strong in it. But the reason you're not strong in it is because you're not using it. When you use your gift, it becomes stronger. When you step out in faith and use the gift that God's put inside of you, it gets stronger and stronger and stronger, and it grows. And it says there, like a small flame grows into a fire. You know, I spoke about it a few weeks back when I wasn't here. Some of you understand what I mean by that. You know, when I wasn't here, I spoke about the Holy Spirit and fire. The fire of God is inside of us, but you know, for many people, it's just a little flame. And it's not God's fault, it's your fault. Because this is saying, stir up the gift of God which is in you. So you need to stir up the gift of God that's in you. We can try. We can lay hands on you. We can encourage you. We can give you a platform, to a place to kind of use your gifting. But unless you stir yourself up, you're not going to be truly stirred up. You know, we're not talking about a hype. We're not talking about excitement. We're not talking about anything like that. You have to get yourself going. You have to stir it up. Okay, how do you stir that up? Well, one of the ways is by praying in the Spirit and focusing on God. Surrendering your heart to Him, becoming a living sacrifice. God, whatever you want, I'll do it. God, whatever you say, I'll say. Stepping out in boldness. You know, sometimes, I've been giving people prophetic words and words of knowledge and stuff for a number of years now. And because I've seen the consistent accuracy with it, you know, God putting something on my heart and me just speaking it out. Because I've seen the consistent accuracy with it, I kind of trust my ability to hear God. And so it's like the other day when I went to go and see someone in the church, I was praying before I got there, and I was like, Lord, you know, what do you want to encourage them with? And I'm thinking, you know, that God wants to encourage them in business, and God wants to encourage them with that type of stuff. And you know, the first thing that popped into my head, I tried to argue it for a few minutes and get it out of my head, because it was basically, there'll never be the right time to have another child. And I was like, you know, Lord, that's not the kind of word I like to give. It's not the kind of word I give. You know, I don't do that usually. But I've learned to trust that voice, and I just thought, you know what? They can judge it for themselves. So I said, you can judge the word for yourself. But as I was coming out, I just felt God say, and you know, they weren't expecting it. So it came like a shock to them. And you know, the wife loved the word. And I didn't know what was going on there. You know, it's just, the thing is, it's like you grow in it. You don't start off at 100% power. You grow in it because you're learning to discern the voice of God. You're learning to grow in your ability to receive from God and then give to other people. You grow in your confidence. You know, even Peter Swart last week in the leadership meeting was growing in his confidence. At Piketberg, when he ministered there on, when was it, Wednesday, he was growing. He's still, you can see he's still growing in his confidence, and because we're all growing. Yeah, he would ask a question and then someone would answer it and he'd be like, oh, I knew that. I should have spoken it before you said it. And we all kind of need to learn to just be confident in hearing from God and stepping out in faith and boldness. So verse 7, the Spirit of God that God gave us doesn't make us afraid. His Spirit is a source of power, of love, and of self-control. Now, I didn't plan to say this, but this is worth saying. The Spirit that God gives us, the supernatural ability that God gives us is a source of power, firstly. That's your power source, the Spirit of God. Okay, it gives you a boldness to preach the word. You can look in Acts and you see it everywhere there. Okay, so it's a source of power and of love. You can operate in the gifts without love, but it's useless. 1 Corinthians 13 shows us that. Without love, you're just like a cymbal, a banging cymbal. It's horrific. You want to run. You know, if you're flowing in the gifts and it should come from a place of love. Yeah, and this is one of the ways how you know if you should be flowing in the gift, where you just feel the love of God in you, drawn towards someone. And often we kind of like, I don't know why that person's highlighted for me, but you just need to step out in a boldness and go to that person and at least just say, hey, Jesus loves you, can I pray for you? Is there anything that I can pray for you for? Even if you don't have a word for them. Okay, so it's a stepping out in boldness to be able to do that. And let me just say, you know, the gifts of the Spirit are a grace, which means you don't deserve it. It's not something that you worked to get. It wasn't awarded to you after 4 years of studying. It's something which you operate in supernaturally, by grace, through faith. You believe, you know, and step out in boldness and faith, but it's a gift given to you. It's a grace given to you, and you need to just go for it. It's not something natural. It's supernatural. Amen? So it gives is a source of power, of love, and of self-control. I love the self-control part, because some people are just like, I can't help myself, and they just want to shout in tongues and give a prophecy. I couldn't help myself. I have to give you this word. You can help yourself. And by helping yourself, you're helping others. Amen? So let's help each other and have a bit of self-control. You might have a word on your heart for someone, but you know, sometimes God will reveal stuff to you that you're not supposed to say. So ask him, what should I do with this word? Maybe you're supposed to just pray for the individual. Maybe you know you're supposed to do something else with the word. I don't know, but follow God's leading. Okay? Then it says there in verse 8, don't be ashamed to tell people about our Lord Jesus. When I first read that, I was like, that's weird. How does that come in? And you know what I realized with that is that the more we tap into this power, this supernatural ability, the easier it is to be an effective witness for Jesus. A lot of Christians are ashamed to talk about the Lord or to witness or share the gospel with people. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you and you'll be a witness in all the world. And so we become effective witnesses when we receive the Holy Spirit and we start to flow in that. The more you're tapping in and stirring up this gift of God inside of you, the more you're actually able to be bold in talking about the Lord. Amen? Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12, we're going to read from 8 to 11 there. 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 11. It goes on and it's now talking about the specific gifts which are given to the body of Christ, or to the individual for the body of Christ, let's say. Okay, so 1 Corinthians 12, 8 to 11 says, for to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. Just basically saying it's all the same power source. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healings by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. Okay, so now I'm not going to talk about all the gifts individually, but I want to talk about one or two things here quickly. And that is that a lot of the gifts go together. Okay, let's just go through some of them quickly. A word of knowledge is knowing something about someone or a situation supernaturally. So you don't know this naturally. It's like I know what's going on in a lot of people's lives. Let's say on the front row, for example. So it might be difficult for me to give a word of knowledge because I know what's going on in their lives. But if I don't know something that's going on in their lives and I feel something, that's a word of knowledge. It's something that you don't naturally know. So, you know, I've had situations like this where I've prayed for someone, I've got to try and remember some examples. A word of knowledge I had in the UK now when we were ministering there was, we were coming to the service, and I was praying, and I was like, Lord, what do you want to do in the service? And I felt him say that someone's eyes are getting bad, and this individual is really worried about it, but it's like deteriorating quickly. And so, you know, I forgot about it. In the middle of my sermon, I said, I really just believe somebody here, your eyesight is getting bad, and God wants to heal you, restore you, and you don't have to worry about it. So if that's you, come up after the service. And I just carried on preaching and forgot about it. And then I was talking to people and ministering to them, and this woman came to me. That is a word of knowledge. I didn't know that there was someone like that. No one came up to me. I didn't feel bad. But eventually someone came up, and this lady came up, and she said, you know, I think that's for me. You know, and this is just a side note. She was like, I asked her, do you want it to be for you? She said, yes, but I have a problem like that, but I don't know if it's for me. Maybe it's for someone else. And I said, well, do you want it to be for you? And she said, yes, I do, but I don't know if it's for me. And I said, well, you get to decide. Is it for you or isn't it? And while someone else comes and says, that was for me, yeah, please pray for me. So I prayed for them. I turned to her and I said, so do you want the word to be for you? She's like, but it was for him. I was like, you decide if it's for you. You decide. You know, when you respond to a word like that, and who says that, you know, God can heal two people of the same thing. So it doesn't matter if there's someone else with the same issue. Amen? So anyway, the word of knowledge is knowing something supernaturally, not naturally. Then to another, it says there, then the word of wisdom. Okay, the word of wisdom was mentioned first. But the word of wisdom is really just God's supernatural wisdom for a situation. So maybe you have a word of knowledge, something's going on in your business and it's terrible and whatever. And then a word of wisdom would come in. This is what you need to do. And we don't tell people what to do. We like more like, this is what I feel is the answer for the situation. You know, even just seeking God is a word of wisdom. Amen? It's always wise to seek God. Then it goes on, the gift of faith. Now, we've all got faith. We've all got the faith of Christ, Galatians 2:20. Amen? You've got the gift, you've got the faith of Christ, but some people have a gift of faith where it's just like a supernatural thing which enables them just to not let go of something until it's through. Okay? And they just keep going. It's like Smith Wigglesworth. No, he was known as the Apostle of Faith, and he had this gift where I've read accounts of him, you know, going, he had a phone call and someone said, you know, brother so-and-so is very sick, they're dying, please come pray. And he said, I'm coming. Few minutes later, they phoned again, he's really bad, you need to come now. He said, I'm coming. A few minutes later, they phoned and said, he's just died. He said, I'm still coming. And he went there, and they'd already put him in a coffin. There were already about 40 people mourning there. And what did he do? He pulled him out the coffin, threw him against the wall, and said, in the name of Jesus, walk. This is a written account. It's not a story. And the body fell to the ground, and everybody's gasping. And he threw the body against the wall again and said, in the name of Jesus, walk. And it fell down again. And, you know, if any of us were there, maybe we would have said, you know, I've got an appointment that I have to go. I'll see you again later, Smith. Yeah, but what did he do? He threw again. And I think he did it like four times. And he said, I told you in the name of Jesus, you have to walk. And then eventually he walked. The corpse came back. And it's like, you know, that's a gift of faith where you're just like, wow, I'm not letting go until this happened. And that's how that gift would be. But we all got to be like that. Don't just let go if you don't see it the first time. Doesn't mean you can't operate like that. Doesn't mean you can't raise someone from the dead if you don't have the gift of faith. You've got the faith of Christ. This is just a gift to the body, okay? And then it goes on there. So these are all gifts that are given to the body of Christ, and we go into depth on all the different gifts and the ones that aren't in this passage of Scripture during our Discover course. And we help you just to discover what gifts you're strong in now, and we show you how you can make use of those gifts in the body of Christ. You know, some of you might have the gift of teaching. That's a gift. Doesn't mean you have to stand at the pulpit. We, you know, teaching happens one-on-one. Teaching happens in small groups. Teaching happens right now in kids' church. Teaching happens at the pulpit. Teaching happens everywhere. Teaching is an important gift to the body of Christ. You can learn to teach. I saw it with someone once. I trained them to teach, and they could teach, but it definitely wasn't a gift for them. Yeah, you know, I could sleep nicely when they were teaching. Because there wasn't an anointing there. It wasn't their gifting. And I'm being dead honest right now. Some people are called to preach and teach, some people aren't, but we're all called to be able to do it in small groups or one-on-one. Just, you know, it's something that you can learn, and even if you've got the craft of it down to a T, yeah, there's got to be that calling inside of you, that anointing to be able to do it. Okay? God loves them. They've got different gifts. Function in your gift. I've seen it with people. They're like, oh, I want to be a preacher. It's like, yes, but you're wired to do X, Y, and Z. God's called you to do X, Y, and Z. Why do you want to do that? Most people want to stand here because it's up front. A lot of work goes in behind this to be here. And there's a lot more that goes on that you are not aware of. And so don't just go for the visible gift. Every part of the body of Christ is vital. How many of you love your hip bone? My hand's up. We don't see each other's hip bone. Amen? You love your skeleton. We love our big toe. You don't want to lose your big toe. Every part of the body is important. Even the ones that you can't see, okay? You're being a teacher in kids' church is a really important part of the body of Christ. Can you imagine if we didn't have gifted teachers to be able to sit with the children and teach them the things of God on their level? They would all be in here now and you'd be struggling to hear me. So it's a vital part of the body of Christ, amen? So, let me just read a few more scriptures in closing. 1 John 2, verse 27, if you can put that up for us. 1 John, is your mic on there? 1 John 2, 27, it says, The anointing, everyone say anointing. Yeah, it was even more powerful. The anointing which you have received of who? Him, Jesus, abides in you. I love that. It abides in you. It stays in you. It doesn't come and go. Many people think the Holy Spirit and the anointing comes and goes. It's abiding in you. It's living in you. You know, I've read a lot of books on the gifts of the Spirit and stuff, and a lot of people believe it comes and goes. That's an old covenant mentality. The new covenant, the Holy Spirit comes and He stays. You know what that means? Is you're always on because God's, you might be off, but God's always on. You might be off, but God's always on. You need to tune in. You need to let the Spirit flow because the anointing is always in you. Okay? He doesn't come and go. He comes and He came and He stayed. He abides in you and He needs... You need not that any man teach you. Now, it's not saying, I mean, there's scriptures which talk about the gift of teaching. It's not saying that you shouldn't be here right now. It's just saying that as I'm teaching and as others teach you, the Holy Spirit would be teaching you from that too. And in the week, the Holy Spirit's ministering to you and bringing to remembrance what you've learned. The Holy Spirit's ministering to you, showing you things to come, etc., etc., etc. The Holy Spirit's doing more to teach you than I'm doing. Okay, He's just using maybe what I'm sharing with you and teach. You know, some of you are sitting there and getting stuff out of this message that I didn't say. That's the Holy Spirit teaching you. Okay? Because He knows where you're at. I don't know where everybody's at. Okay? And it goes on and says, the main point I want to show you there is the anointing which you've received on Him abides in you. 1 Corinthians 14:32 says that the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. 1 Corinthians 14:32. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. That means your gift, the spirit in you is subject to you. The Holy Spirit will never just come on you and control you and do what He wants with you. You have to surrender to Him and allow Him to flow through you. Okay? I believe it's like a tap. You switch it on and you switch it off. You've got the power. Okay? You know, you might feel the Spirit stronger at times than others, but we don't go by our feeling. We go by the Word of God, which says you've got the Spirit, you've got the anointing in you, so go for it. Step out in boldness and faith. I mean, you know, I don't know if I shared this. I haven't had the opportunity to share this, really. But when we were in one of the churches, when we ministered, the pastor asked us to minister to the leaders and just have an opportunity, you know, questions and answers, tell them the testimony of Grace Life. We did that. And at the end, he said, right, you know, everybody, what's going to happen now? Shane and Martin are going to prophesy over everyone. And we just sat there and smiled. And inside of us, we had the same mentality. You know, Holy Spirit, you're always on. So we just, shandala, shandala. And people came. I said, who's first? And they came up and we're smiling. You know, you just need boldness and a confidence about the Holy Spirit being in you and that he can do anything through you. All things are possible to him who believes. So just believe. Don't say, oh, I can't do that. Then you're not going to do it. So all we did was, first person came up. Whatever we felt the Lord saying to us, we said to them. Whatever we saw, we said to them. And at the end of it, we got into the car, and the pastor's wife was like, wow, that was amazing. Everything was so spot on. We didn't know up until that point. But just like, wow, that was the British are a bit reserved. You know, that was amazing. It's just such a blessing. And da-da-da-da-da-da. And you know, that was spot on for this one and that one. And then the pastor was telling me that during the worship service, someone had come and given him a prophetic word. And he had said, you know, this guy always comes with prophetic words every week. So, you know, this time he just felt for time's sake, I'm not going to release the word. And he said to the guy, you know, thanks for that. It's encouraging, but, you know, we're not going to release it into the service. And I gave him the exact same word. You know, not because I'm special, but just because I tuned in. You can tune in as well. Okay, I like how the Passion Translation puts 1 Corinthians 14:32. It says, keep in mind that the anointing to prophesy doesn't mean that the speaker is out of control. He can wait his turn. So, you know, I can't remember if this has ever happened. I think it has happened in Grace Life. Someone just standing up and going for it in the middle of a service. We don't tolerate that. So don't try that. Yeah, you know, if you feel a word on your heart, and I'll just give you some basic guidelines, how we operate. If you feel a word on your heart, there's leaders up front, you come, you say, I feel this on my heart, you come during worship, or that's the appropriate time to come, and you say, I feel this on my heart, or after the service, come and share it with us, and then, you know, if we feel it's appropriate for the service, then we release you to give the word, or we'll give the word. Everything needs to be done decently and in order. I've been in services where someone just stands up and starts shouting in tongues. That's inappropriate. If you feel like you've got the gift of tongues, and you know the gift of tongues to be able to give in a public setting, not in a private setting. We've all got the gift of tongues for a private setting, but for public ministry, come forward, say, hey, Peter, Etienne, whoever's up front, I really just feel I've got a word in tongue. And if it resonates in our hearts, we'll let you do it. You know, we've done this. Most of you have maybe not been here when we've done this, but a few years back, we had a couple people with this gift, and we've operated like this. Someone comes up, and you're like, after they finished in tongues, you're like, Jesus, some interpretation needs to come now, you know, because someone else needs to come with an interpretation. And usually as they finish, someone comes walking forward because they just in their spirit know this is the interpretation. Anyway, we're going to leave it there. But the point that I want to make, and we're going to continue on in leadership time, but the point that I want to make is that we've all got gifts and we can all operate in it. It's really simple. All you do is you open up your heart and you say, Jesus, speak to me. Holy Spirit, use me. You surrender and you just pray in the Spirit and you allow the power to start to flow. And then you just need to step out in faith. You know how I started operating in words of knowledge? I had my old Nokia, 3210. And I'd push down on the, address book. And it would scroll very quickly down the address book and I'd just randomly stop and I'd pray for that person. I'd pray in tongues and I'd say, God, just give me a scripture for them. And I'd feel a scripture on my heart and I'd message them. And that I learned to discern the voice of God. I started growing in it. One time I messaged someone I said, I didn't have words like this yet much, so I knew it was kind of God, but it was a bold step for me just to say, hey, and this was long before ministry. I was actually a student at Cape Peninsula University of Technology, and I just felt God say to me, message so-and-so and tell them that the thing that they're going to do, they shouldn't do it. They should not be hasty or too quick in making decisions. Just seek God. So I messaged that. They messaged me back instantly and said I was about to break up with my boyfriend, and it was a cross-cultural relationship, which always makes it difficult. And she said there's just so much pressure, so much difficulties, she just couldn't do it anymore. But she knows that he's her husband. You know, maybe it's 15, 16, 17 years later, and they're married, they're in ministry, and they have four kids, I think. and they're doing a great work. You know, it's like God, you don't know how God's going to use you in your gift. Now, I'm not saying you have to operate in gifts of words of knowledge and wisdom and prophecy and all of this, but you've got a gift to use, and it's for the benefit of the body of Christ. Amen? So we are going to watch that video, if you guys can get that ready, and I'll tell you when to play it. But we're going to just watch a quick video that I've seen. Someone sent it to me, I think, 2 weeks back with Billy Graham's death. And I just want to encourage you with this video to see that, you know, you might think your gift is insignificant, but your gift isn't insignificant. You know, another gift which I just want to mention is the gift of giving. Some of you are called just to go make money to give to the kingdom. And you might think that the pastor would always say that. Some people are called with that gift. I know a couple people with that gift, and it's awesome. You know, I had someone with that gift say to me, a couple people with that gift speak to me about it and say, you know, if you ever need anything, and I hate it when people say that. Yeah, and I said to him, I'm never going to tell you if I need something. I told him straight. You know what he said to me? He said, well, then you're never going to be able to enjoy my gift. He said, you're going to have to humble yourself to tell me if there's something that's needed. And a few weeks later, I had a situation where I really actually needed something. And I was like, it was a new laptop, because my laptop was, William decided it needed some coffee. This was about 2 years back, and I contacted him. I said, you know what, there's your opportunity. If you'd like to, and I got a brand new laptop. You know, and it's like, you know, God works in the body of Christ in different ways. Why? To build the body of Christ so we can be effective in fulfilling the Great Commission. So let's watch this video.
Every Sunday, and serve faithfully in teaching the little children about Jesus Christ. He was a Sunday school teacher who had a great passion, who wanted to do more than just doing it on Sundays. So during the weekdays, he would actually follow through with all the children who came to his class on Sunday to make sure that they understood. And his name was D.L. Moody, an amazing man of God. And because someone called Richard Kimball decided he was going to pursue it. But here's the interesting thing. The story doesn't end there. The story actually begins there. Because D.L. Moody received this incredible salvation experience and says, I got to do something about it, quits his job, and begins preaching the gospel. And God uses D.L. Moody to go throughout the whole world. And when D.L. Moody was traveling in the United States, there was a man called Wilbur Chaplin, who hears the message of D.L. Moody in one of the evangelistic crusades and responds to the message and says, I gotta do something for Jesus. And Wilbur Chaplin then begins to preach the gospel himself. And while Wilbur Chaplin is preaching the gospel, a baseball player who was well known in America listens to the message of Wilbur Chaplin. At the end of his crusade, he comes up and gives up his life to Jesus. And his name was Billy Sunday. And Billy Sunday, right after he receives Jesus, quits his career at baseball and says, I'm going to devote the rest of my life in serving Jesus Christ. So he begins to do crusades just like Wilbur Chaplin does. And as Billy Sunday begins preaching the gospel, a man called Mordecai Ham, who is a very astute gentleman, who is very refined, who is seated in his crusade, hears the message of Jesus Christ, stands up and gives his life for Jesus Christ. And this guy, Mordecai Ham, goes to a little town called Charlotte in North Carolina, and he's preaching the gospel in the 10th crusade meeting. And there's a bunch of kids who are standing outside, and they're saying, we got to go in there, and we're going to cause trouble tonight in that meeting. And in that bunch of friends, there was one kid who didn't want to cause trouble, but he just wanted to see what would happen when they caused trouble. So he walked into that tent meeting to come and see what would happen when his friends would cause trouble. But as he sat there in that tent meeting, hearing Mordecai Ham preach the gospel, something within him resonated. And he said, I got to respond to this. So he went the next night, and then next night when he heard the gospel, he went up to the altar and gave his life to Jesus Christ. His name was Billy Graham. And Billy Graham, hold on, I'm not done yet. Billy Graham, till date, it has been estimated that through the ministry of Billy Graham, 2.2 billion people have heard the gospel of Jesus Christ through the ministry of Billy Graham. It all began in a chain of series with a man called Kimball, a Sunday school teacher. Of all people who said, I'm going to be devoted with the gifting that God has placed in my life. I'm going to do it every Sunday sincerely. I'm going to go out of my way and I'm going to tell these kids about Jesus. And what he started ended up reaching 2.2 billion people and more, because we're not taking into account all the other people who got saved through all the other evangelists who were saved in the process as well. Never underestimate what God can do through a simple act of service that you do for his kingdom. You need to recognize that what God has given, whether you think it's significant or not, in God's eyes is absolutely significant.
So, you know, it just shows you, like, we often think maybe it needs to be a gift like a prophecy or whatever. Just a gift to teach and to shepherd kids in kids' church, it can have a huge impact for generations to come, which you'll only know when you get to heaven. And I mean, we need Sunday school teachers, we need kids' church teachers, we need lots of people, we need lots of help there at the moment. There's lots of areas of the ministry where we need help, you know. But that is one of the areas where, if you've got a passion and a heart for that, we want to let you use your gifting there. You know, church isn't just a place to come and warm the chair. The chair doesn't need your warmth. You know, it's a place for you to come and participate in using your gifting to grow the body of Christ so we can reach people and make a difference in the world. And you might not be excited about that, but when I watch something like that, I get excited about it. Because it means that you don't have to reach millions of people. You just need to reach one person who will reach millions of people. And you don't know who's in kids' church at the moment. You just see the little kids. But you don't know what they're called to in the future. So, yeah, Father, I want to thank you for each and every single person that's here or joining us online. Everyone in the mother's room. I thank you for everyone that's listening to this message. And I thank you that you have called them, Father. You have gifted them with special gifts, special supernatural ability to be able to do a supernatural work, to be part of the body of Christ, to be part of your rescue mission to reach the world, Father. Every single one of us has a part to play. Not one of us is exempt. None of us is not special. We're all special, and you've called each and every single one of us to be partakers in your kingdom.